Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Honey on my lips. The psalmist said in Psalm 19 verse 10 about the word of God that it is sweeter than honey. Join Lady Reverend Adelaide Hayward Mills.
Life has a way of dishing out to us things that we did not expect. Sometimes it's a dream that seems to be delayed. Many times you see a man, you know, he has a good job, he's a cool dude, his suit is smart, and you think, when I marry him, everything will be together. The unexpected is unexpected from our perspective, but from God's perspective, it is not unexpected.
On Sweet Melodies 94.3, as she puts the honey of God's word on your lips, equipping you for all facets of life this and every Saturday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Honey on my lips will change your life, preach good news to the poor, set the captives free, heal the brokenhearted, bring recovery of sight to the blind, and proclaim God's year of jubilee. Honey on my lips. Saturdays at 9 a.m. on Sweet Melody. Be blessed by God as you tune in to Lady Reverend Adelaide Hayward Mills.
Hallelujah. I think that's a very good clap for a vessel of clay like me. But shall we give a resounding applause to Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Father of Lights. In Him there's no variableness. A faithful God, give it to Him. He's faithful. God is faithful. God is a good God. He's all powerful. Give Him praise. Give Him praise. Give Him praise. He who sits on the circle of the earth, give Him praise. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Shall we share a word of prayer? Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him. How I've proved Him over and over. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust You more. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust You, how I, oh yes, I've proved Him over and over, over and over, and He's been faithful. Jesus, Jesus, oh, He's so precious to me. Oh, for grace, oh, for grace to trust You. Father, thank You for the privilege of being in the presence of God and of Your people. This afternoon, we humble ourselves. We receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save our souls. I come against any haughty attitude against the word of God. I come against any opposition to the word of God. I pull down every stronghold, every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. Everything that renders the word of God of none effect, let it be abased today, Lord. And I pray that the word of God will go and change lives forever. I pray that You will give me utterance, Lord. Grant me Your anointing. Grant me the grace. Holy Spirit, use this vessel. If You can use anything, Use me, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Please take your seat. Well, I have been already blessed by the message on the light of the world, and I was privileged to have just, I believe, sneaked in at the right time, and therefore I was able to make some notes. And I think that what is happening with this generation is that you are receiving a lot, but you are not using it. You are having a lot of programs. You are having a lot of speakers. You are having a lot of anointing. You are receiving a lot of grace, revelation, things that we didn't even know. You are receiving a lot of support, a lot of help in the things of God. And yet, because you are not doers of the word, we don't see the effect of the word. Amen? And some of you are even here by default. Somebody had to organize you to be here. But when you were in the world, or even now, when it's a jam or a party or something is happening, that we don't have to organize you. So even our desires and everything would have to change in conformity to God's word. And when I look at you, as young as you are, I'm reminded of myself many years ago, 1982. Some of you had not even been born. There's a doctor who is my friend in the church, and he's always coming to my office to talk to me. And then once, not long ago, I was talking to him, and I said, when we were in the university, and it was closed in 1983, hey, mommy, I was born in 1984. I said, that's why when we are speaking, you have to listen. So when I see you, I see a reflection of myself in that, I mean, I just wonder that was I as young as this ever, you know? And also, when I was your age, by the grace of God, I knew God. I had accepted Jesus as my Savior. I was serious by the grace of God about the things of God. And as I go from university to university, you know, and I speak to young people, last week I was at the law school, because they invited me to speak to them. As I speak to the young people and all that, I just know, like the first speaker said, that you have a lot of delusions and delusions about life. And most of it, some of it is your fault. Some of it is not your fault. It's the age at which you are. Do you understand? But I think that God saves us from a lot of things, if only we would listen to His word. But often we use our lives as guinea pigs in the laboratory of life. And then later we become this wild Christian aunties. Do you see? And then we'll be telling the young people, listen, what they are saying is true. You know, and then we come to our glow meetings and you are the one sharing. But you have used your life as a guinea pig and you have gone through the school of hard knocks. Life has battered you, knocked you out before you say, the word of God is true. But that's not how it's supposed to be. We are supposed to run to the word of God as an anchor, as a shield, as a deliverer, so that some unnecessary experiences, we will not go through it. But you will hear, but you will do what you want to do. Even Jesus preached, only a quarter listened or did what he said. One quarter, the birds of the air came to take it. One quarter did not have any roots. And one quarter was trampled upon and then choked by the desires of this world, the cares of this world. And then one quarter with patience, they bore fruit. So I'm not greater than Jesus. But I'm praying that God will give you an open heart to what He's saying. And I'm told that your theme is beauty in His glory. Is it? And you gave me about your synopsis, 15 points. So I will go according to what the Holy Spirit tells me. But generally, you said that our expectation is that the ladies will come to understand their identity in Christ and walk in their true identity. And then you also gave some verses. So let's turn our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3, reading from verse 4. And that will be our key verse for this morning. Amen. Now, many of you, you know where to find Brazilian hair. You know where to do your weave on. You know where to sew your clothes. In fact, you even have a tailor who can sew the night before. You know where to find everything except the books of the Bible. But let me tell you something. When the issues of life come knocking on your door, it's not how nice your weave on is. It's not how beautiful your dress is. It's not even your GPA. Amen? It is whether you know the word of God for yourself. And if Jesus was tempted, you and I would be tempted. If the Son of God was tempted, the Bible says Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. If some of you had gone through that temptation, you wouldn't know any scripture. So when Satan comes and says, Jesus, you are hungry. I say, hey, Satan, that's a revelation. How did you know? And then when Satan says, if you are really the Son of God, command these stones into bread. God has answered my prayer. Because fasting, when you finish 40 days and 40 nights, everything is nice to you. So as for bread, dear, this is God. Hey, God said that before you ask, I would have answered. And before you speak, I would have responded. This is God. But Satan. But Jesus, who is the Word of God, knew the Word of God. And could quote that it is written. Now, that's what we do is, it is said. It is said. When a preacher can say, she preached powerfully. But the Bible says that the Christians in Berea, they were more noble than the ones in Thessalonica, Acts 17. Why? Because they searched the scriptures daily to see if those things were so. Amen? But we of this generation, we don't search the scriptures daily to see if those things are so. Amen? Apostle Paul was preaching on. And the Bible says they search the scriptures daily. After the meeting, they will go and they will search the scripture to see if those things are so. But you don't have any such mind. Amen? You don't search anything. You say, oh, Lady Reverend said. And Lady Reverend said. But you should search the scriptures to see if those things are so. All right. Okay, so 1 Peter 3. Reading from verse 4. I am happy that you would have LOV on campus and that you would have t-shirts that say you are far above rubies, because that's what the Bible says about the virtuous woman. And I hope that as you are virtuous young women, you will grow up to be virtuous old women. Amen? Amen. And that it won't just stop somewhere. I believe that a woman is a very powerful tool in the hands of God. And I always say that you just have to look at the Bible. The commandment was given to Eve, right? And Adam, don't eat of this tree. Then Eve went to eat of the tree. And she didn't even have to convince Adam. The Bible doesn't say Eve said a lot of things. She gave him and he did eat. That is the power of a woman. And excuse me to say, the tokishness of a man. She gave him, and he did eat. And because of that, we are all here today. With all the terminal diseases, incurable diseases, broken relationships, broken homes, broken lives, diseases that don't go away, farming, poverty, war, God saw all that and said to Adam and Eve, what is this that thou hast done? That's the power of a woman. If you take Delilah, Samson, you have carried the gates of Gaza. You can kill lions, string them together. You can kill a whole army. When it comes to Delilah, she just says, I have a pair of laps. Just sleep in the laps and you'll be okay. And as soon as Samson sleeps there, oh, his mind, it doesn't work. Oh, brothers. It doesn't work again. And she lies to him 3 or 4 times. Samson, the Philistines are on you. He gets up, he shakes himself, and then he still goes back and sleeps in those same laps, the same trick. All of Delilah doesn't even change her trick. Do you understand? She doesn't even need innovation. The Bible says, by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. And I always say when I speak that, I wish it to even be a loaf or even a slice, but a piece. So no matter how great a man is, he may do this, there's something called influence in a woman. And that can bring the world to its feet. Amen?
Amen.
Moses' mother, what did she have? You see, the men look macho. They are going to war. They are shouting. Moses' mother says, I can see you are a goodly child. They say that they are killing everybody. I'll just make a weaker basket and I'll put you in it. And I'll keep watch over it. And when she did that, Pharaoh's daughter comes and all that. And a deliverer is born for Israel. A woman's part, she just made a basket. But if you see a basket, you say, women are not so powerful. Look at the basket she's making. But that's to create a deliverer for Israel. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, she's the one that the angel appeared to. And the angel said, you will give birth, you will do this. How can this be? Seeing I know no man. I said, the Holy Spirit will come over you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, that thing which is within you shall be called holy. And today we have a Savior. It took Mary's virginity. Things that don't look powerful. So if you mess up and the Savior is supposed to come from you, God has to change His plan. But you shouldn't underestimate what God has put in a woman. A woman is a very powerful thing. She may not have muscle, but she has influence. And her influence can be used for good or for bad. Amen. So I pray that you be a woman whose actions lead to the extension of God's kingdom. Amen. Before we jump into the verse, the Bible says, give honor unto whom honor is due. So I want to salute all your executives and your patrons for this program. And I also want to introduce and honor the pastors in my midst. I'm here with my bishop in Kumasi's wife, Lady Reverend Joy. Lady Reverend Joy, give them a wave. And then I'm here with Pastor Kobe, who is also in Kumasi, and his wife. I'm honored that you are here. Lady Reverend Regina Hajj. And then Lady Pastor BM, my right-hand woman. And then if we're in my office, we just got married. No. Okay. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Are you there? Oh, let's read from verse 3, not verse 4. Whose adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Amen. The Bible says, whose adorning? Let it not be that outward of plaiting of the hair, putting on of gold, of wearing or apparel. Some people say that means you shouldn't do your hair. Some people say it means don't put on any jewelry. Some people say then it means also don't put on clothes, wearing of apparel. But the Bible is saying that let not your concentration, your time, the main part of your resources be channeled only into these things. The Bible is saying that let's reprioritize. Let's put our priorities right. Now let me ask you, some of you go to the hairdresser to do your hair and then you don't finish, so you come back the next day. Some of you do your hair and then I hear that they sell paracetamol by it. So when you finish, all this place is hurting you and yet you bear the pain. And you say, mommy, my paracetamol, then you take it to help the pain on your head. All in the search of looking beautiful, looking outstanding, and looking different. I have never done braids in my life. But my friends tell me that sometimes the paracetamol doesn't work. You have to buy Buscopan. Is it Buscopan? No, Buscopan is for the stomach. Something higher than that. Brufen. You know? And as women, we go through all this. Why? Because we are obsessed with the outer beauty. And how men will judge us is very important to us. And how we'll be assessed is very important to us. But how we are in the inside, inner beauty, it doesn't matter because nobody sees it. The time that we will spend doing our hair, we will never spend that to study God's word. The time that we will spend in doing our hair, we will never spend them in seeking God's face or praying. You must be joking. And then when we finish, we say, I don't get time to pray. Oh, the lectures, the time, the stress. You see, this generation, when you talk about stress, I get very angry. Because even my daughter, she's going to do WASI, and she tells me she's stressed. I said, never use that word again. You don't know what it means, stress. What stress do you have? Do you pay fees? Oh, mommy, but every age has a stress. It's not. Do you pay fees? Do you have children? Do you have a husband you have to feed? Do you have children you have to think about that? Their homework. This one's open day. This one's graduation. This one needs this. This one is calling you. Before you take care of even yourself. You say you are what? Stressed. Never use that word. Amen? And yet we give so many excuses when it comes to spiritual things. And when it comes to things that really matter, we don't have time. You have time to gossip. You have time to talk about people. You have time even to quarrel. Nigerian movies. Ah! That's your main ministration. As the woman is standing there, then she turns into, she goes down and she becomes something else. And you say, hey. I was in South Africa lately and I went to a shop, a string of shops, and they were asking me, hey, you're from Ghana. Do you know Jackie Appiah? I said, yes, I know Jackie Appiah. Do you know this is the man? I said, I don't know who. How can you be from Ghana? You don't know these people. They are in Nigerian and Ghanaian movies. I said, no. Nigerian movies are different. Oh, now Ghanaians act with Nigerians. They are all in the movie. I didn't know that. And they mentioned so many names. And I told her, I said, instead of being in the Nigerian movie, I would rather be in the presence of God. And they looked at me, it's like, you are some way. But who said we're not supposed to be some way? Now, when you look up the word adorning, adorning means decoration, embellishment, adding on, pleasing, attractive, impressive, and enhancing. To adorn means to add beauty. To add beauty. Now, what are we adding beauty to? Peter is saying here that you're adorning. Don't let it be the outward. The outward. If Jesus came now, will you go? They say, oh, Lady Reverend, yes, I'm born again. But the Bible has other things to say. It says, whoremongers and adulterers, they will not go to heaven. It says, the unbelieving, they will not go to heaven. So it's not just by saying with your mouth, I accept Jesus as Lord. You will be surprised. There will be surprises. That's why when we come, we say, oh, the Bible says, we will say, Lord, Lord, did I not cast out demons in your name? You did many things in his name because he invested power in you. But he didn't know you. He didn't have any close relationship with you. You never came. You never came into his presence. You never came to tell him anything. You never offered him worship. Your worship is always the one we do in church. You don't know how to worship him. You don't know how to fall on your knees. You don't know how to sing on your own in worship and adoration. You don't even have that encounter because you don't know him. So when he says, I don't know you, depart from me, it is true. Because you were busy with so many things. You were even a shepherd in church. You were so busy, everybody thought you were so wonderful. But you had another life that nobody knew about. And so when he says, I don't know you, depart from me, don't be surprised. Even me as a pastor, I'm surprised, but Jesus is not surprised. As a pastor, I have so many situations I have to deal with. And I'm amazed at our duality. Do you understand duality? We can be dual. You see, the Bible says we are citizens of heaven, but some of us, we are dual citizens. You are in the world, and then you are also here. And you play both parts so well. So I've done counseling where Christians, oh, the person had two wives. As he was having a wedding, he had a wife already. And as the wife thought that this was the firstborn, it was actually the secondborn. And as he had two here, he has also two children here. 2 days before I came here, somebody comes to my office. I invited an unbeliever to church. And she said she's not coming because her husband's girlfriend is in Lighthouse. And they have been going out for 11 years. And they always come together to the house, the matrimonial home, to come and pack the man's things to fly out with him. A Lighthouse member, 11 years of somebody's husband. And she comes to church, she listens to the preaching like you. And she's dual just like you. Who's adorning? Let it not be the outward. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, powerful. Oh, mercy. Forgive. That is not Christianity. Amen. Amen. Who's decoration? Let it not be the outward of plaiting of hair, wearing of apparel, putting on of gold. But let it be the hidden man of the heart. What we don't see so easily. The heart that nobody knows about. That's the one we are talking about. In fact, we think we are fooling somebody. Oh, I've been able to fool the pastor. Oh. Is it the pastor you stand before? And let me tell you, some of my mates have gone on to be with the Lord. Some went as soon as we finished school. Some went later as life rolled on. Some went unexpectedly. Some were saints, some were unbelievers. Green leaves fall and brown leaves fall. One of the main people in Vandal City, just before we left campus, we went for an outreach in Commonwealth Hall and he gave his life to Christ. As soon as we finished school, he passed on. And I said, my God, thank you. When I was speaking in the law school last weekend, they said they wanted gender balance. So there was another male speaker. And as I sat at the podium with him, and then they introduced him. So when I was coming to preach, I said, I want to say that God's mercy is so far reaching. This boy, he was in Commonwealth Hall, profaner. And today he speaks the word of God. And when he was talking, he said something. He said that, because I was in darkness for so long, I really appreciate the light. Do you understand? But some of us, we are here and there, so we don't even appreciate what's going on. Who's adorning? Let it not be the outward. Let it not be. And it means that it depends on you. Let it not. Permit it not to be. Don't allow it to be. Just your outward. Some of you say, but Lady Reverend, I was Miss Ghana. Miss Ghana. Go and ask 2012 whether she has not handed over to, is not about to hand over to 2013. And go and ask Miss Ghana 2008 or Miss Malaika, whoever they are, whether they didn't hand over in 2009. Even if we have forgotten their names and who they are. Your beauty doesn't last forever. And if it, even if it did, when Satan comes knocking at your door, it's not your beauty that you bring. Satan, you can't touch my children. You can't touch my marriage. You can't touch my life. Look at my face, how beautiful I am. It's not going to work. But the word that you have invested in your life, when you can say, it is written, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Even our faith. And Satan will say, hey. The Bible says the word of God is the sword of the spirit. Your lipstick is not a sword. Your lip gloss is not a sword. Your weave on is not a sword. Your dress is not a sword. But the word of God is a sword. And life is a battle, like the first speaker said. from the time of John the Baptist until now, that means before you were born. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violence take it by force. The kingdom of God is not something that just happens to you. Oh, kingdom of God, just come, thy kingdom come. It's not like that. It suffers violence. And that is why Ephesians 6 says, for we wrestle. It's not a tea party. It's not a jam. It's not a carnival. It's a fight. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. The Christian life is a fight. It's not a party. That's why we say, he didn't say, put on your party dress. He said, put on the whole armor. And armor is for fighting. He didn't say, wear your tennis, that short skirt you wear, and then your bat. He doesn't say that. He says, put on the armor, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It's the armor that's important. But instead of armor, you are wearing miniskirt like this. Instead of armor, you are showing all the things that should be preserved for your husband. You are showing them. Instead of armor. Let's read 1 Timothy 2 verse 9. Who's adorning? Let it not be the outward. Let it not be the outward. Whew. Amen? 1 Timothy 2 verse 9. And we'll come back to our verse. Okay. Are you there? If you are there, say amen. If you are not there, say wait for me. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Amen. Now, to adorn, as I said, means to arrange, to decorate, to embellish, to garnish. And Paul is writing to Timothy, and he says that the young women, they should adorn themselves in modest apparel. The word modest is from the Greek word kosmios, and it means well-ordered, moderate, regular, or well-behaved. Modest and of good behavior. And apparel is an old-fashioned name for dress, equipment, or clothing. And he says that when we are wearing these things, we should do it with shamefacedness. Shamefacedness means a sense of honor, a regard for others, respect, reverence, self-restraint, modesty, or bashfulness towards men, not being bold or forward. Amen, ladies? In like manner, the women adorn themselves with shamefacedness. You see, when you wear your clothes, let it be as if you are a bit shy. You see, it says restraint, a certain shyness towards men. But not that you are showing everything. That even we who are women, when we see you, we have to do this. And it says show a dress that shows respect for others. Respect for others. And some people, you see, when I was in Volta Hall, people will wear things, and we thought it was wild, but your generation is madness. Do you understand? Madness. It doesn't make sense. And this is Paul writing to Timothy. The other one is Peter. So it's the Holy Spirit bearing witness to the same thing. And it says that when you are dressing, it's not that you shouldn't be fashionable. But you have worn this tight jeans that is next to your skin. And you say, if the brothers have the problem, they should solve their last problem. Hey. The Bible says showing respect for others. Respect. Sometimes when you go to the university, the clothes you wear to lectures. And then if people are some way towards you, say, this. We are supposed to be the temple of God, but you are a kiosk. You are a total kiosk. And people are always, you see, as for Lotto kiosk, a lot of people come, drivers, messengers, big men, low men. Obia beta idea was that kiosk. But the Bible says
Know you not that your body is the temple of the living God? And the temple of God cannot be dressed anyhow. God has made the female body to be attractive to the male body. Go and ask the lions and the dogs. It's true. And the human is a higher version of what God has created. And God is saying, yes, you are supposed to be attractive to the opposite sex, but to your own husband. Not to other people's husbands. And not to any male walking along. Amen? And then now, your standard is stars in Hollywood. They say, shine as light as your father who is in. Then you know, your standard is that star in Hollywood who does not even know how to lead her life. She has all her problems. She's on drugs. She has money, but she has no direction. And you say, did you see her dress? Hey, she cut the neckline a little. The cleavage was, wow, it was very nice. Hey, with shamefacedness. I mean, I feel shy to wear such a thing. No, I will not. I'm too modest to wear such a thing. You can look good without wearing all these things. There are people who have come to the church and I've told them what you are wearing. I don't know whether you are in the bathroom or you are in the house of God. Yeah, and some of them are downright rude. So why should you tell me what I should wear? It's the house of God. You shouldn't judge. We should all come as we are. Come as we are. Then don't wear anything. Just come. Shamefacedness. And do you know something? That is what will earn a man's respect for you. As you are like that, he will sleep with you. But when he's looking for a wife, he doesn't want the type like you. He does not want a type like you. There was a brother on this campus who was dating a sister I knew. They said they were Christians. They were. But every time he would be worrying the girl, why don't you wear your skirt a bit shorter? Why don't you there? Why is your neckline not a bit lower? But I said, hey, this is leading you out of scripture and out of the word. Why would you follow such a person? Once, mommy, but I really love her. I said, try not to love a fool. Try hard. Eventually, he left her. And other skirmishes, we found out that he was not even a straightforward brother, so many things. This sister wept and wept and wept in my office. I said, oh, don't worry. One day you will come and give me an offering for delivering you from such a thing. And she did. And today, by the grace of God, she's happily married with peace. And the woman the brother married, issues her. Issues. So sometimes God is delivering you. But you have put that foolish boy Peter and God, and you have chosen Peter. Shamefacedness and sobriety. Sobriety means, you know, it's tempered, it's controlled. Do you see? It's controlled. So whenever you are wearing something, ask yourself, will it bring glory to God? This thing that I'm wearing, will it bring glory to God? Am I adorning myself in the right way? And some of you, you don't even know the scripture as to dressing. You see, so you feel that, oh, it's my president who is saying I should dress like that. And your president's word will not hold. Can't you see that your parents' word does not hold? That's why you have come to campus and you are doing all sorts of things because your parents' word does not hold. You do what you like. But if it's the word of God and you know the word of God, you'll be able to live the word of God. Amen. Let there be a bit of shame. And I'll come to that. Even in relation to the opposite sex. Hey, he can hold you anywhere, do anything. Hey, sister. Until the pure, all things are pure. All things are not pure. As the brother is holding you, he's having vibes. Oh, let brotherly love continue. Hey. Okay, I'm coming there. Shamefacedness and sobriety. We go back to 1 Peter chapter 3. Amen? Yes. But let it be the hidden man of the heart. I love the Bible. Do you know why? It doesn't say don't do, don't do, don't do. It tells you what to do. It says, you are adorned, and let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting of hair, wearing of gold and of apparel. And then he says, but let it be. But let it be. Don't do this, but do this. Do you see? But let it be the hidden man of the heart. He's saying that let the adorning, let the decoration, let your concentration be on the heart. Proverbs 4 verse 23. It talks about the heart. And it says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Your heart is the wellspring of everything. It is where everything starts. Amen? And so when the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, it means that your heart is really the leader in everything. And your heart is really what guides you. And it's saying that because of that, when you change the leader, or when you control the leader, everything else will be under subjection. Do you understand? So it doesn't say guard your body, guard, all those are important. But it says that your heart first, because the issues of life are going to come from there. Now, the New Living Translation says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. It determines the course of your life. It determines the course of your life. So your heart is your spirit man, the real you, the main part of you. And the Bible is saying many things can happen to your heart. Your heart can go astray. Your heart can be hardened. It says harden not your heart. Your heart can be hardened towards the things of God. Your heart can be corrupted. So many things can happen to your heart. It says guard your heart with all diligence. And then Peter says, your adorning, let it not be the outward, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. Work on what is within. Work on the real you. Work on that baby that has been born again and has never grown since 2010. You got born again. That inner man has never matured. That hidden man has never developed muscles. When a child has grown for 4 years, it's not walking. It doesn't talk. It doesn't have certain vital signs. There's something wrong. In the same way, when you are born again, and after a while, there's no sign. There's no sign of development or moving ahead. You are mentally or spiritually retarded or challenged. And most of the time, when you are retarded or challenged, it is often not your fault. But this spiritual one, you can do something about it. That's why the Bible says, let it be the hidden man of the heart. Amen. Because what? It determines the course of your life. The course of your life is determined by the state of your heart. Amen, somebody. All right. Back to our key verse, because that's where I'm taking everything from. Yeah, are we there? But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible. Amen, somebody? In that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit. It says that when you adorn your heart, it is because the heart, that area, you choose things that are not corruptible. But every day we are choosing things that are corruptible. Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust and thieves can come for it. But lay for yourselves treasures in heaven. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Are you there?
Matthew chapter 6. To Ella. If you are not there, say wait for me. Verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. Where your treasure is, that is where your heart will be. Now, the Bible says, in that which is not corruptible. And there are many things that are corruptible. And that is what we are building our lives on. Lady Reverend, like what? Like the love of a man is corruptible. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6. Many men will profess their undying love, but a faithful man who can find? A man's love is corruptible. Not because he's a liar, not because he's a con man, but because he's a man. The Bible says, cursed is he who puts his trust in man. So you may put your trust in man, and then he will just disappoint you. Not because he wants to disappoint you, but because we are made in flesh and clay. And you see, so your husband or your beloved may say, oh, I'm coming to Kumasi to visit you. Last week or the week before, I'm coming by air. I'll be there. And when he went to the airport, there was no aviation fuel. It is not that he doesn't want to keep his promise, but he's man, so he's so limited by the elements of this life. Amen? But Jesus is not limited. When he says, I'm coming, he comes. He's not limited by aviation fuel. He's not limited by the circumstances of life. But man is limited. The man who said to you, I do, he's limited. Colossians 3:19, husbands, be not bitter against your wives. Hey, as for Lady Reverend, as for John, he will never be bitter against. Yes, John, God didn't know that John was there. That's why he wrote that verse. God didn't know that there were exceptions to that rule. But no matter how much your husband loves you, there are times when he will be bitter against you. And that's why the Bible deals with that. Husbands, don't be bitter against your wives. And you, because of that foolish boy John, Peter, Mark, Kevin, and Marvin, you won't come for fellowship meeting. You won't wait on God. You won't serve God. You won't give your all. You say, our love is made in heaven. Your love may have been made in heaven, but it was supposed to be lived on earth. That's why you are here. Amen? You cannot build, no matter how good the man is, he may even be the Pope, you can never build your life on him. There are times when you will feel very lonely. Your husband has gone on crusade. What are you going to do? But Jesus will never leave you. Nor forsake you. Amen? But you said that this John, you have made the man like oxygen. Without him, you cannot live. There's nobody like that. God has not made any one creature to meet all your needs in life. He's corruptible. And Peter says that let's work on that which is not corruptible. Amen, ladies? I came to shock you. Because you feel that my love, you see, some people have told me that as we are doing the marriage counseling, we are saying communication in marriage. When you are talking, don't shout. Don't use the word, you never do this. And you always say this. Don't use it. And some of them were telling me that as we were doing the classes, no, they were thinking it applies to other couples. But as for us, our love is made in heaven. They have told me themselves. And some of them told me that even the lessons they didn't hear. Because love is this ethereal thing moving in the earth. And they didn't hear the things that we said. And so later when they got married and then they had challenges, then now they were looking in their suitcase under the one they brought for the marriage. They are now looking under to see which chapter in the marriage verse were we talking about.
Do you know why? No matter how good you are, how godly, the two of you are human. Human beings, we just err by nature. Do you understand? Sometimes you even send the wrong text to somebody. It shows your humanness. Sometimes you intend to put off the light. You don't put off the light. Sometimes you intend to call somebody. You go and call the wrong person. We are error prone. That's how we are made. And if two imperfect people marry, by all means, they'll have some differences. And you have made this Peter your God. Somebody said, my wife treats me like a god. So why? She gives me burnt offering every morning. She burns my food. She offers it to me as a god. And some of you have made the people in your life, even your relationship, is more precious to you than God. It can never be. The highest relationship you can have is the one with God. No man can understand you. Look, the Bible says about Jesus, he's touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Men don't feel the way you feel. That's why when you are making a big deal about something, they wonder, why? What is it? You know? And sometimes when you ask them, how do you feel about it? I don't feel. I'm just thinking that we should do this and that and that. Because we are two separate human beings. So that is corruptible. Your relationship to any man, let alone your husband or your beloved, is corruptible. There are times when you are married, but you don't agree to something. You're having an argument, and you are crying. Ooh! And you think your husband will stop and say, don't cry. Look, I have a meeting, and you better straighten out. Eh? Yes. Then you have is this love? Is this love? Is this love? Is this love that I'm feeling? Then wherever it can be, hey, it's love. But since the fall, nothing has been perfect on earth. You as a wife, you also disappoint your husband. The day he has come, he's very hungry. You are giving him burnt offering. It's also a disappointment. You see, before you marry, the reason why you, is that you have a mind that is not real, is because you are remote controlling the other person. Do you understand? You are saying, and then when he comes, we'll sit down, and then I'll light the candle, and then we'll eat. So in your mind, he has sat down. But in real life, he chooses not to sit down. Do you understand? So your film mind, you are controlling the brothers to the say, oh, when I marry her, oh, in the bedroom, she'll do this, she'll do that, she'll do that. All the things they imagine. But you too, you have come with your boring self. And he doesn't know that all his imagination was his expectation. But not that when the person comes, that's how the person feels like behaving. The person doesn't feel like behaving that way. You have gone to watch movies. And in the movie, when the girl is traveling, the man carries her bag and comes with her to the train station. Meanwhile, this Kumasi that you are, the trains, they don't even work. Do you understand? So your fantasizing is too much. And then as they are sitting in the movie, then the girl is saying bye-bye to the boy, and then her nose and her are pressed to the window, the pane, the glass, and she's saying bye-bye. And then the guy is running across the platform. Bye-bye, darling! Bye-bye, darling! Then you go and marry John. He said, let's go to KJT. I said, oh, my mother is calling me. Try and carry your bag. She said, ah! I've married the wrong person. Lady Reverend, this one, you don't know that the movie has been preaching to you. Do you see? And then as you sat in the KJT bus, even to say bye-bye, he said, oh, I'm so sorry. I have to run. My boss is looking for me. Or if he's a doctor, we have an emergency. After so, instead of running along the platform and saying bye-bye, he's going to cry to the car to go and attend to the emergency. Yeah. This man has shown me, but hey, he has changed. He hasn't changed. Your film has now become a reality. Amen. Amen. That which is not corruptible. A man's love for you is corruptible. Proverbs 27:20 says that the eyes are never tired of seeing. Meanwhile, you feel that you are the latest thing this man has ever seen. It's true. But as life goes on, the eyes are never tired of seeing. The only reason why he will be faithful to you is because he fears God. Because he fears God. Not because you are the latest thing on this planet. There will always be latest. Miss Ghana 2030. 2030, she will be getting ready to hand over to 2014. And the battle will go on. Amen. So it is only the fear of God that does say the Lord, I don't want to do this. God says what is joined together, let no man put aside. It's the fear of God that will let the man be faithful to you. Amen? And so don't build your whole life on things that are corruptible. Some of the things he said, he means them, but when reality set in, it was not true. Amen? Your beauty. Some of you think that your beauty is not corruptible. Look, the so-called trendy people I knew on campus, I saw one of them at Nando's, more than one. I couldn't believe it. She was wearing some major mama. Do you know mama? And even that's okay. But on her head, she had worn a scarf like this. There's a peanut seller. Udasubo. Do you know Udasubo? There's a scarf called Udasubo that I think my mother's mother used to wear. And she was wearing it. A wild high-time girl on campus. And she was walking with a man. Hello, Adelaide. Meet my husband. Do you know him? I was shocked, but I had to pretend that it was normal. So I said, oh, yeah. Oh, is this your husband? Yeah. And these are my two children. Walking meekly. Why? She didn't know God. She blew all her time on campus. And now, everything is gone. She has realized that God's word is true. And she's just meekly walking behind her husband. I couldn't believe it. I said, can a high timer like this change into this? I met another lady at Malcolm. And she said, why have you divorced my brother? We were both unbelievers, but they were my friends on campus. I said, I met my brother. He says, you've divorced him. You see, Adelaide, if the dustbins in Volta Hall could shout, they will shout with aborted babies, this guy has made me put in the dustbin. As I knew them on campus, I never knew anything like that was going on. Because often your world is different and your orientation, you don't think about a lot of things. Even when people go into people's rooms, because you don't know what it is, you can't imagine. And she said, if the dustbins could cry, the fetuses would cry. I said, hey, is that what was happening? She said, yes. And then I go ahead and marry you, and we are still not having children. What's the point? So I've left him. I've left him. She would never have said this to me on campus. And do you know what she added? She said, the message you are preaching, the things you have stood for from campus up to now, I thank God for it. It is real. I wish I had listened. I've not asked her anything. She doesn't even live in Ghana. She started to preach a sermon to me. And she told me, you know, I'm now in the Lord. I said, if you are in the Lord, then why have you left my brother? I left him before I knew the Lord. And I'm not going back. That which is corruptible, your beauty, it will fade just now. You just have to have two children. Two children. Then you will be exercised. You see, some of you are young and you quickly judge the generation before you. You understand? Say, oh, why is she going fat like that? Oh, but why? Why don't you go to the gym? What's her problem? I've seen so many like you in the church. Why don't you go to the gym? Why? Oh, as a woman, you should look attractive. You should look there. Hey, wait, we are waiting for you. Because I have met the likes of you after that. Not even after the baby, during the pregnancy. Hey, some girls used to wear high heels, very sophisticated, very worldly also. And then I used to tell her, take your time and rather be spiritual. So, no. As for me, I don't believe in this. You just get married and then you start to put on weight. I mean, what is that? Can they control them? Hey, pregnancy. All the high heels were gone. She's just walking. I said, sister, what's wrong with you? Sister, mommy, it's not easy. Pregnancy, the house keeps going around like this. I can't. Even the slippers, I can't stop. I say, hey, is this you? How are the mighty fallen? She said it herself. So it's not beauty. You see, you can look good, but that's not the priority. That which is not corruptible. Somebody, your main aim is, I want to make good grades so that I will succeed in life, education, so that I will get this. You have built your life on that which is corruptible. You may be very educated, but when you finish, you won't get a job. For 3 years, you will be walking around. Or you may be very educated, you will get a job. But in the job too, there are many, many, many temptations, and you can destroy your life through that because you don't have that which is corruptible. Incorruptible. You have only that which is corruptible. Some of you say, oh, my family background, my father comes from here, and the issues of life don't go by family background. The issues of life don't go by wealth. The issues of life don't go by your status in society at all. Demons don't respect all these things. They respect the word of God. They respect your walk with God. They respect your knowledge with God. They respect your closeness with God. That is what is incorruptible. But all these other things, they are corruptible. Amen? So ladies, it's true that we can't help it. We naturally love. We are wired that way. We were brought on earth because God had a problem with his creation. When God created everything, he said, it's very good, it's good, it's very good. It's good. It's only when he created man, he said, it is not good that he should be alone. That's the only thing God said was not good. And then he created woman. We didn't say that create us to solve man's problems. Man did not even know his problem because he was asleep. But God said, when I look at you, your problem is that you are alone and you are not complete. And when God brought us, he didn't have any problem anymore. So stop saying that women are the cause of all problems on earth. You had a problem already and God brought us to solve it. Amen. So we are wired for relationships. We are like that. We are prone to be that way. But let's work on it. Not that you will not love the person. Not that you will not be committed to your marriage. But first things will come first. Do you see? And when you have fulfillment in yourself, marriage is made up of two whole people. Not half and half and then they become one. One and one and they become one. Amen. So if you don't know God for yourself, you don't have a life in God, everything is surrounding this man, you will give the man a lot of stress. Because you must have a life of your own in Christ, that you know Christ on your own. You know how to have the joy of the Lord on your own. You know how the peace of God can reign in your heart on your own. Of course, your marriage will be a blessing to you, but it will not be the foundation of everything. Amen? But the thing is that we make it the foundation of everything. And if you build on that foundation, it will not work. Amen? But when you know God for yourself, you say, you have things that you are doing. Do you understand? Like, when my husband goes for crusades, he goes here to preach by the grace of God. I also have things that I'm doing. So I'm not just sitting there looking at the time. When will he come? What's he doing? By now, he's this and that and that. Hey, by the grace of God, I have things to do. Amen. I also have a life. I also have a portion in the ministry. I have things that bring me fulfillment when I'm serving God. And so because I have things that bring me fulfillment, by the grace of God, I don't have to be close-marking. In fact, sometimes when he travels, rather, he says he's coming, I say, yay, my plans. I have this to do, this to do, this to do, and he's coming. Do you understand? So you should cultivate a life in Christ for yourself. What are God's giftings in your life? What is it God wants you to use for his service? It will bring you fulfillment. And you will not put all your fulfillment in a human being. How can that be? But many of you have nothing you are doing in the house of God. You just come and go, come and go, come and go. You are filled, but you have nothing to give. It is corruptible. You can't build your life on that. Amen, ladies. Am I saying something? Okay. So it is only in Christ that there shall be no end. But in everything else, there shall be an end. Amen. Now, the last verse on this corruptible I want us to read is Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Mayim, please give me a cue when I'm getting to the time. Are we there? Colossians 3, 1 and 2.
You see, even these type of verses, you should know them by heart. Not because it's an exercise, but because you have meditated on it and you know it and it will help you in life. Amen. Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2. Are we there? I'm still flipping through. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated on the right hand side of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things below. Let me ask you, is Peter below or above? Peter is below. What about John, Marvin, and they are all below, and Kevin? They are all below. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ. How many are risen with Christ? Seek those things that are above, where Christ is seated on the right hand side of God. Then it says, set your affections. It means that your affections are in your hands. What you love, what you desire, what you treasure, set your affections on things above. He didn't say, pray that an angel will do it for you. He didn't say, ask the person next to you to do it for you. He didn't even say, ask your pastor to do it for you. He says, you set your affections. So your affections are like an object. And he says, set them. And set means that, you know, when you set cement or you set something, it's strong, it's firm, it's settled. Set your affections on things that are above. What are the things above? The word of God is above. Heaven and earth will pass away. His word will never pass away. The love of God is above, the unconditional love of God. God loves you unconditionally. God does not punish you. God does not condemn you. God is very different. When I ask people, why do you want to marry this sister? Because she's very beautiful to me, Lady Reverend. Number two, she's a very good cook. Number three, she's very caring. Number four, she really loves the things of God. Number five, she's a good support for me in ministry. Then I asked the lady, why do you love this man? Because I think he can protect me. He stands for me. I think he can be a good high priest of our family. I think that he will be able to raise a godly family. He will help me to enhance my ministry. And he will do all the answers that I hear about you. Selfish reasons. Do you understand? When you ask the brother, he says, he will cook for me. She will do me. You ask the sister, he will care for me. Everything is me. And that is the beginning of problems in marriage. Selfishness. And self-centeredness. Amen. And the Bible says, set your affection on things that are above. I believe that I set my affections on things above. Not thinking about Bishop Doug. Not because it's bad to think about Bishop Doug, but let me tell you a secret, which he always preaches the opposite, but let me tell you that. When I first met my husband, I didn't like him because I felt that he was super spiritual, you know. I was in Volta Hall, and then he would come from Legon Hall. I didn't know him, but I got to know him through a lady friend who was in Achimota School with him. So when I meet her, I say, hello, Brother Doug. Kebala mama mama. I'm going to heaven. And no one is stopping me from that. The demons are afraid of me. Jesus is coming soon. I say, hey. What type of boring cliche brother is this? You just say hi, then he's bringing spiritual. So I told my friend, this is your friend. I don't like him. He's some way. But do you know why? Because I myself, I was a Christian, but you know, the pseudo, nice, everybody says you are a nice Christian. You don't ruffle any feathers. You are so nice to even unbelievers. And unbelievers used to tell me, we like your crepepa. Anytime unbelievers say that about you, you are in trouble. Jesus said, woe to you when all men speak well of you. Amen. And so, later he will come and then he will be doing Bible study in my friend's room. So I heard some things I didn't know, like new creation, man is a spirit, he has a soul, and he lives in a body. I never knew all that I'd been born again. I didn't understand that.
So he'll be teaching that and all that. And we joined his fellowship, my roommate and I. And he was the president, but hey, he had come from a mixed school with his people that he knows. We are from a girls' school, Wesley Girls. We don't have time for that, so we are leading our lives. But I believe that as I became more spiritual, and I started to seek the things of God, you know, and we became such good friends that we thought that we could never be beloved. You know, that's how sometimes you think, you know. So he would say that, the way you are, you must marry a very nice Christian brother. And I would say, yes, the way you are, you should also marry a very nice Christian sister. Amen. Amen. And God brought it to pass. So as you seek first his kingdom, God will add other things. Things you have not prayed about. Things you have not sought him for. God will answer all those things. Do you understand? As I began to obey God in ministry, I didn't know. I didn't have a picture. Maybe you people have seen others, so you have a picture. But in our time, ministry was not so common, especially amongst people who had been to the university. In fact, the saying was that if you were a professional, stay in your profession, because God does not use professionals. Do you understand? So that was the culture we grew up in. So I didn't have even any prayer topic. The Lord, as I'm preaching, let people really invite me locally and internationally. Let me really go here and then. No such prayer topic have I ever prayed. But just by the small Bible studies, feeding the people of God, loving the people of God genuinely, serving people without expecting any reward. And God just lifts you up. And God just begins to bless you. When I started the women's Bible study, was because my husband asked me to start it. NTC, at the back somewhere, TV room, three women. Later we became five. Later we became 10. And then when we were about 40, we had what we thought was the most powerful convention in our lives, you know. But God used that gradually to build something, to stir up your gifting. You won't even know. So some of you at this stage, you say you know that you are apostles, you know you are prophets. You amaze me. You amaze me. Because God leads us step by step. He didn't say the strides of a good man are added of the Lord, or the leaps of a good man. He says the steps. So God leads you step by step. Do you see? But as you are faithful, he will add things you have not asked him for. I'm telling you, there are so many things God has brought my way, even materially, that I didn't ask him for. Amen. I didn't even ask him for, I want to marry this president of this fellowship. Lord, let it be him. No. In fact, I said I was going to be a charismatic nun, a missionary to China. It's true. My roommate will bear testimony. That's what I said to her. I said, and my roommate, she already had beloved. And they are now pastoring our church in Nigeria, but she had beloved. And then she would come to the room, and then she would be crying. I said, hey, what is it? Because I hadn't had a beloved before. What is happening? She said, oh, my beloved and I, we went to sit by the pond, and then we had an argument. I said, ah, but if you are in love, do you cry? I don't understand the semantics of it, you know? And I kept telling her, as for me, I'm going to be a missionary, and I'm going to go to China, and I'm going to preach the word. I didn't know what ministry was, whether you should be a pastor. I didn't know what a church was, because I was not in a charismatic church. I just knew that I wanted to serve God, and I wanted to love him. And in doing that, God gave me the man that he gave me. God gave me the blessing that he gave me. It was never a prayer topic. Do you understand? So the word of God that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Be righteous. And all other things. What do Gentiles seek? They seek a good husband. They seek a good profession. They seek a good future. They seek comfort. They seek blessing. They seek material blessing. The Bible says, after all these things do the Gentiles seek. But you, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all other things, including anointed Marvin, Kevin, and Peter, shall be added unto you. Amen? If you are not busy with the things of God, if you are not busy in your closet with God, if you are not falling in love with Jesus, today is the day to rearrange your priorities. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Set your affections on things that are above, where Christ is seated. Set your affections. How will I set my affection? Your affection is in your hands. And don't say, I don't feel like. It's not feelings. Just do it and the feelings will follow. Just like forgiveness. Sometimes you want to forgive someone, I don't feel like, just do it, and the emotions will follow. In the same way, just obey God, and the other things will follow. Amen. And we are running on. In that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Amen. The word meek means to be tamely subject to injury. Tamely subject to injury. Sometimes it can also mean being long suffering. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28-30, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and I'm lowly. To be meek means that even when you are suffering injury, you are tame. You are not wild. You are tame. And Peter is saying that, work on the heart and add the ornament. An ornament is a decorative piece of a meek and a quiet spirit. Meekness also denotes humility. And my husband has been preaching about humility at the beginning of this year. He was preaching about humility. Because the Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you. So Peter is saying, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, but work on having a meek and a quiet spirit. Why? It is of great price in the sight of God. In the sight of men, it may not be. But who are you trying to please? Like the first speaker said, you are trying to please God. Because at the end of the day, the person you need to please is God. He is the one who promotes and brings down another. It's not man. He says that the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even a meek and a quiet spirit. You need to be meek, tamely subject to injury. Oh, Lady Reverend, which type of injury? The injury of offense. The injury of offense. If you want a place to be offended big time, come into the ministry. If you want a place to be hurt, come into the ministry. There's nowhere else like that. You will have big time opportunities to be hurt. And the Bible knows that. And Peter is saying that. As for being hurt and injury, and it's going to happen over and over again in your life, but be tamely subject to it. I've preached many times, and then people will tell me, hey, when I heard that example, I freaked out. I thought, if it's me, I'll do this. But I think when God calls, not I think, I know, he gives you grace. Amen? One day somebody said, I'd scratched her car, whatever. I said, okay, I'll fix it, all that. She was very angry, the church. And then the people were talking to her that, oh, if she says she will fix it, she will fix it. I mean, this is the first lady. If she says she will fix it, even that's what stirred the thing more. First lady, and so what? And I could see that it wasn't this issue. The person has been looking for me. You know, some people are like that. They just resent you. They hate you for who you are. They super imagine that your life is something else, perfect. And that you just sit on the seat. You just come. You look nice. You sit in front and you smile. That's all your work as the bishop's wife. That's what people think. Yeah. Because most of my work is behind the scenes. Not all my work is on stage. So most of your work is behind the scenes. So people say, what does she do? She just makes herself happy in the church and she just whatever. It's up to them. It's God who is the judge. But she said, first lady, and so what? Very rude. Then after that, somebody brings her and somebody comes and says, oh, I have this lady who has a lot of issues that I think she should see you. I think you can minister to her. I said, really? What's her name? Bring her in. And it's this lady. Some of you, you would have said, you know what? I don't have time. Go and come tomorrow, eh? These church people, the way they behave. But I said, oh. The Holy Ghost told me on that day that the reason why she's misbehaving like this is because she has issues. She has issues. We all have issues, but some people don't know how to manage their issues and they just, whatever. There are times I come to the church, I have in the past, come to the church and they say, no parking, park outside. And I think, the person telling me to park outside, I was in the church before he came. He has parked everybody's car. Everybody has been allowed to park inside. And I'm being told that I should park outside, you know. But God will always remind you that walk in humility, you'll be okay. Nothing will happen to you. You'll be okay. And God will rather use that to lift you up. Amen. People will say all sorts of things. The people you have poured your life in the most, they are the ones who will help you, hurt you the most. But are you tamely subject to injury? Even at this stage, your class one problems, look at how you are freaking out. Your kindergarten problems, look at how you are freaking out. But you will need a spirit, a meek and a quiet spirit, to be able to make it in this life. And also to please God. Amen. You need to be tamely. Some of us feel that when I'm hurt, it means I'm justified. No, you are not. Jesus said, love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Bless them that curse you. And pray for them that despitefully use you. Can you pray for the person who despitefully uses you? Can you bless the person who curses you? Say, God will curse you. You will never prophesy, I bless you in Jesus' name. May it be well with you. May you be blessed going and blessed coming. May the hand of the Lord never depart from you. The Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make his countenance to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. Hey. And the person shall never be well with you. It shall never be well with you. You will see. That, and then you are speaking something else. It must be God. It must be supernatural. But you need to be tamely subject to injury. Amen. Proverbs chapter 21 verse 19. And then 27 verse 15. And then we move on to the quiet spirit and then I end. Are you there? Proverbs chapter 21 verse 19 and Proverbs 27 verse 15, sorry. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. Sisters, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. But, you know, read 21 verse 9 and then 21 verse 19. It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in the White House. Help us, Jesus. Amplified says, it is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop, on the flat oriental roof, exposed to all kinds of weather, than in a house shared with a nagging, quarrelsome, and fault-finding woman. It's better to be on the flat rooftop of the Oriental with all the weather exposed to you than in a quarrelsome, noisy, quarrelsome woman. Angry. Meekness. Meekness. Some of you have grown up in an environment where your mother is always insulting your father. It's classic. And you don't even know that it has affected you. You think it's normal. You have grown up in an environment where there's always conflict. Anything you say, if you say, shall I wear the blue shoes? Why should you ask me? Didn't you see the white? Didn't you see the white? Why should you say, hey? Some people will say, hey, any small thing becomes a quarrel. But for you, that's the norm. You are normal. You are used to. I have a friend like that. She told me, she said, I'm so used to conflict that I have to talk to myself that that's not the way to go. And I allow the Holy Spirit to help me. And the Holy Spirit has helped her. Amen. But it takes us accepting the truth. James says, lie not against the truth. So sometimes we have the truth, but we lie against it. The Bible says that it is better to dwell in the rooftop than in a white house with an angry, quarreling, noisy, insulting woman. Hey! That's the absence of meekness and quietness. Amen. And when you read the verse 19, it is better to dwell in a desert land. Hey, So rooftop exposed to the vagaries of the weather, and then a desert land with a contentious woman and with vexation. You see, we are more emotional usually than men. So when we get angry and we get contentious, it's not easy. And then also, we are get blessed with the gift of the tongue. So when we decide to give it to you, we are verbal, more verbal than men. So when we give it to you, it's not easy. And then when the person runs away from you and goes into the desert, you say, oh, why, lady, I don't understand. I didn't do anything to him. Oh. I didn't do anything. He has left. It's true, the Bible doesn't condone divorce, but he's not coming home. He's finding the desert as a quieter and restful place. Amen, ladies? Are we changing? The Bible is so true. It says all the things. He said, I always say that if you can't respect a man, don't marry him. If you talk to him by heart, not respect him, all that, don't marry him so that he will also have his peace of mind. Okay? But you are going to worry him. It's too much. Proverbs 19 verse 13. The same Proverbs 9. If you remember Proverbs 19, you see all the verses there. The part B. The contentions of a wife are like a continual dripping of water through a chink in the roof. Do you know why? We are verbal by nature. So when you get married, you write it down somewhere. You call me and say, Lady Reverend, it was a revelation. What happens is that we are more verbal. We talk and all that. Men don't talk much. So that the way you speak to your husband, you feel he has not understood. You understand? So you come back with another approach. That let me find more words. Let me look for an illustration to explain what I mean. You see, I mean that when you do this, I really feel this way, and I think that you should stop doing this. I've heard. And his actions show you that he has not heard. Say, okay. So you see, let me give you an example. When we went out the other day, and you are trying to bring more illustrations to bring understanding. But in the end, at the end of the day, you end up being a nagging wife. Without intending to be. You become a nagging wife because you are explaining and you are using 25 diagrams and all that to explain what you mean. So learn to say what you have to say, but not to have it drawn out. Like dropping on the roof. When will you stop? And it comes again to fighting your battles on your knees and winning your battles on your knees. Amen? It will come again to you. Did you learn how to pray when you were here? Did you learn how to stand on the word of God? Did you learn how to fast and pray? Because the Bible says, this type, some demon may be worrying you in your life, in your marriage. And the Bible says, this type does not come out except by prayer and fasting. You too, the fasting, you used to eat big time. The prayer, you were never a part of it. How are you going to cope? How are you going to cope? You never built your spiritual muscle in your time here. God has a purpose for putting you here. Some of the scriptures I know have been from the times when I was young like you. The scriptures I meditated on, that is what I'm still standing on up to this day. And you too, it's going to be the same with you. Amen. So turn to the next sister and say, don't become a nagging wife. A quiet spirit, 1 Peter 3. A meek and a quiet spirit. Are we there? I'm trying to teach you so many things in a short while. Okay? So God is going to help us. 1 Peter chapter 3. And it says, a meek and a quiet spirit. Amplified says, and the unfading charm of a gentle and peaceful spirit, which is not anxious or worked up, but is very precious in the sight of God. Amen. A meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. I will not be able to speak too much about the quiet, but I think the contentious will explain the quiet, isn't it? Okay, so 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 11.
First Thessalonians 4, verse 11. A quiet spirit is one that has cultivated quietness in the presence of God. Quiet means you have the grace and you walk in it to be still and to know that He's God. When even a storm is raging, when things are not as they should be, you decide that you walk by faith and not by sight. If in your walk with God you have not exercised your faith, when the big storm comes, you are not likely to make it. But when you learn that I've prayed about it, I've sought God's face about it, it doesn't seem to be changing, but I don't see with the natural eye. I see with spiritual eyes, and I just trust God. It will help you to be quiet. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 11. And that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you. Another verse says, to mind your own business. So, to be quiet is something that has to be studied. It just doesn't happen. Sometimes some people may have temperaments that are more prone to being quiet. But that's just temperamental. And that's why God is the judge. When you have to do something, and God has already given you that nature to do it, I think He will not mark you the same way as somebody who has a contrary nature and yet allows the grace of God to help her do it. Do you see? So, study to be quiet. Learn it. To be quiet in the midst of adversity. It doesn't mean you don't seek supernatural answers or help. You do. But in the midst of it, there's a certain faith and restfulness in God that comes. Study to be quiet. When you want something so badly and you are not getting it, you just study that. God knows best. You are able to comfort yourself with scripture. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans of prosperity and not of disaster, to give you a future and to give you a hope. So sometimes when I'm worked about, Lord, how is it going to... I remember that He has the plan. I don't have it. He said, I know the plans I have for you. He has not given me the plans. He has it. And He says that He's able to bring me to that expected end. So what can I do? Why have sleepless nights? Why be worked up? Why be so worried? Have you not seen that when you worry, it doesn't add anything to the problem? In fact, it rather worsens it or exacerbates what is happening. Have you not noticed it? So just learn to be still. Psalm 46 verse 10. Be still and know that I'm God. Not just be still and be there, but know that I'm God. Know that I'm in it. Know that I'm involved. Amen. A quiet spirit. Some of you say, Lady Reverend, I'm in love with him, but he's not in love with me. It must work. It must work. Quietness. Leave it. If it's meant for you, it will come. If it's not meant for you, God will give you somebody else. There's nobody like Jesus Christ that when you don't have life. No. There's nobody like that. It's only Christ that he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God has not life. But it doesn't say he who does not have Peter has not. You have. Were you not living before you came to this campus? Were you not happy before you came to meet this Peter who has made you have even more pimples? Do you understand? We are too worked up, like Peter is saying, amplified, worked up about the things of life. But the most important thing is just work on the heart. Let the heart develop meekness and quietness. Let your spirit know God. Even in the midst of tears, you can cry and say, I'm crying, I'm heartbroken, but I believe you. And I know that you have a plan for my life. If you want me to fight for this, you will tell me to fight for it. If you want me to do this, you will tell me to do this. But at the end of the day, it's God who brought you here. It's God who has ordered your steps all along. Look, from your childhood, things that you didn't work for, things that you didn't even know about. Even maybe to join a church, you didn't know anything about it, but God just led your way. Before you knew, you are in a church and you are covered spiritually. It's all the grace of God. Amen. When I look at my own life, I just say that. Why is it that when you are growing older, you think you should help God? There's nothing like that. Because all the things He's done, they had nothing to do with it. What school you go to, after the school, you will choose maybe 4 universities, then He will decide that you should go to this one. And then when you go to that one,
He has prepared somebody for you to meet that you didn't know from Adam. So that when I look back, I said, ah. So when I was growing up in Takrade, my husband was growing up in Accra. God knew both of us, but we didn't know each other at all. I mean, is it possible? And then his mother said to me, when we came from England, we lived in Takrade, and we lived at Windy Ridge. I said, so did they come to my school and I didn't know them? I don't know what school they went to. But Takrade was small, and you could go everywhere. So as God was preparing him, I was in a girl's school. He was in a mixed school. I didn't know him at all. There was no way we should have met. But somebody who was supposed to be my roommate, in fact, she was my maid of honor. She was supposed to be my roommate. And when I came to the university, my sister was 2 years ahead of me. She said, no, she doesn't see why my friend should be my roommate. She will be my roommate. So my sister, who was 2 years ahead of me in school of admin, became my roommate. So my friend now had to go and look for a roommate. And she looked for a room. She found a roommate who went to Achimota School. And this roommate who went to Achimota School was in my husband's fellowship. So when I went to visit my best friend who became my maid of honor, he had also come to visit his friend who came from Achimota School. That's how God works. So if God is at work, why is it that you feel that I must take a hold of my life? I must organize things. That's what this God, he can be quite irresponsible. Let me help him out. No. A meek and a quiet spirit. The bottom line of it all is that seek first his kingdom. It will make you a godly woman. Godliness is attractive. You see, so everything God is doing is for your sake. But it's not about us. And it's not about just this life. It's about eternity. Your life is not just this life. You and I must give an account of everything that we have done with our lives here, on campus and on earth. When we meet him, what will we say? When I meet him, they won't say, oh, yeah, you're so anointed. You were Bishop Dad's wife, isn't it? Anointing by osmosis, enter into his rest. It's not like that. When God came to the garden, he asked Adam, what have you done? Eve said, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat. And when God shared the response, he said that you, from the sweat of your face, you will eat. And he said to Eve, your desire shall be unto your husband, and he will rule over you. By the way, so those of you who have fantastic plans, I'll do masters, I'll do PhD. Pray for God's will, because that man may take you somewhere where you cannot do PhD. Amen. And you have gone to marry. And the Bible says submitting to everybody. Some of you say, oh, I will live in America. He has married you and he wants to live in Kukurantumi. Amen. So ladies, things are not cast in iron. The Bible says the woman was created for the man. So when you become so rigid, you see, just take it cool and quiet. One day at a time, God will lead you into... God says that he will fulfill the desires of your heart. But leave him as to how he brings it about. But don't say that, as for me, I'm doing masters. If you are not doing, then I'm whatever. You can talk like that now. But after a while, I won't say to you, you yourself, you become cool. You will say, Mepa, Mini, ah, Peter, now why am I saying ye? You will not believe it. So I pray that we will seek first the things that are above and we will live with eternity in mind. You can be beautiful inside, and that beauty never fades. That beauty lasts forever. The Bible says the unfading beauty of a meek and a quiet spirit. Unfading. It doesn't lack luster. You don't lose it. You don't become something else. But you become beautiful. And even when Jesus shall appear, we shall appear like him. Don't let us live as if we are unbelievers and we live just for the now. There's an eternity to live in. There's a judgment to face. There's a God to answer for. And I pray that you work on having a meek and a quiet spirit, because it's of great price in the sight of God. Stand to your feet.
You've just finished hearing this message, and I cannot leave you without giving you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus Christ. You want to say, Lady Reverend Adley, pray for me. I don't know whether I'll go to heaven or hell when I die. I'm not sure, of where I will go or my destination. I want to make things right with God. I want to start afresh with God. I want Jesus to come into my life and be the Lord of my life. If you want to have Jesus as the Lord of your life, I just want to invite you to say this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you just as I am. Please wash me in the blood of Jesus. Take my life and come inside and be the Lord of my life. Thank you for coming to die for me, Jesus. Thank you for rising from the dead so that I may have eternal life. And thank you that by this prayer, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus, come in and be Lord of my life. Amen.
It was great having you today. To find out more about the CDs and DVDs advertised on today's program, or to find out more about the resources available by Adelaide Heward.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26767 6055, +233 26767 6055, or send an email to info@godswordforus.com, info@godswordforus.com.